very warm welcome. Thank you for coming along. I'm Sam, the vicar here at Trinity Church. I love Rigaceroux. Not every Henley resident loves Rigaceroux. It's one of those things. It's the town is suddenly busier, but I love Rigaceroux. I love how international it is. This little old market town in Oxfordshire, and suddenly the world of rowing descends on us. It's wonderful. I love how competitive it is, and proper athletes giving it all that they can, and there's an amazing thing to watch. And I love how colourful it is as well, and all the blazers decked out. It's a wonderful, wonderful time for us in the town. It's the first time that we've run these little evening kind of reflective services here in the regatta. Bit of an experiment, but it's lovely to have you here. We're recording these as well, so we hope that they can kind of go out to folk who aren't here in person as well. And it's lovely to have Oscar, who I'll be chatting with a little bit later on. We're just 35, 40 minutes or so, and I hope just a space to be quiet together. Well, we're going to begin with some words from Isaiah, sorry, from Psalm 46. And if you just respond with the words in bold. But before we do that, why don't we just have a moment of quiet to collect our thoughts. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. There's a lovely verse in the Bible that goes like this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So many things to be anxious about. Whether you're a sports person or a spectator or just a regular person, every day life throws up things to be anxious about. And yet, here it says, don't be anxious, and gives us some alternatives. We can talk to God about it. But it's striking, isn't it, that it says, do that with thanksgiving. And I've certainly found in my life and talking to others that thanksgiving is a surprising but very effective antidote to anxiety. So that's how we're going to just start our time together this evening, with a time of quiet thanksgiving. I'm going to just mention a few areas and then just invite a moment of quiet time to give thanks, really, in your own heart for these different things. And after each little time, I'll finish with the words, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good," and we can respond, "His love endures forever." So first, I just invite us to recall our family, people who care for us and love us, who brought us up perhaps, who are still involved in our lives, who are a blessing to us. Give thanks to God for them. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Now I invite you to recall the opportunities that you've been given in life. Those chance encounters that led you to do some of the meaningful things that you've done. Things that you didn't deserve, they were just given to you, and they've led you to the place where you are now. I wonder what those opportunities have been in your life. A time now just to give thanks for them. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. We live in a beautiful world. It's a beautiful town with a beautiful river. And that river is a focus point of this week. And yet, all of these things the Bible says come from God, a gift to us in his wonderful, stunning creation. And just a moment now to give thanks for the things that we enjoy in this world that he's given us. Lord God, all that we have comes from you. We are thankful. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I'm going to invite Oscar to come up to the front now. Thank you, Oscar. Come and join me. Well done. Come and grab a seat. Now, that's it, you can turn that one on. Oscar, you have just finished school.
Sure, yeah.
And your results come out on Sunday.
Yeah, pretty nervous, yeah.
So, and you've done the IB?
Yeah.
Okay, subjects?
So it's six subjects. So you have to be maths, English, and a language, so I chose Spanish. And then I do sports science, business, and psychology.
Any you're feeling especially confident about?
I think business and psychology would be all right.
Anything you're feeling pretty nervous about?
To be honest, I'm nervous about them all, but yeah, hopefully it'll be all right.
Oscar, it'll be great, and I'm sorry to put you through that torture at the start of the interview.
Yeah.
Oscar, you are passionate about sports. You're passionate about lots of things, but one of the things you're passionate about is sport. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about your journey with sport over the years and where that's kind of led you today?
Yeah, sure. So I originally grew up around the Visors, I don't know, near Salisbury. I was born in Salisbury, playing football for my local club. The football was to do with a lot of my mates from school played football, and I was a lot smaller than I am now. And also, on Sunday mornings, we'd go to church, and that's when the rugby was. So yeah, I grew up playing football, and then we moved over here when I was in finished year four, I think, and joined, well, we joined the Trinity, is it Maidenhead? Church in Maidenhead, which offered a 4 o'clock service, and a lot of my friends at my new school played rugby at Henley Hawks down the road, so I joined that, and yeah, loved it, and it worked really well with the 4 o'clock service, because then I could, well, have both, and then yeah, sort of started playing more and more rugby. And was fortunate that the rugby at my school as well, where I've just finished, was really helpful, and a lot of good good teammates and also coaches that helped a lot. And yeah, sort of led me up to here.
Okay, and so where is here in terms of rugby?
So I'm actually going in a couple of weeks down to Bath, where I'll have pre-season, and hopefully go to uni as well on the side.
So that's pending results on Sunday.
Yeah.
So results go well on Sunday, and then you head off to Bath to play professionally for Bath.
Yeah.
And do your studies at the same time.
Yeah, that's the end. Yeah.
That's great. And is it like a kind of scholarship thing? So they pay for your studies, you play for them?
Yeah, it's hard to describe, but it's like, yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. So do you know what the setup's going to be? How much you have to be training? Mm. Which teams you'll play for, what opportunities you're going to get?
So I think in terms of training, so pre-season, I'll be at the club. I'll be living at the club next year, which is really what I'm very grateful for. Pre-season. Then when term starts for uni, all being well, I'll play a lot of my rugby at university. And it kind of depends. So there's different competitions, stuff like the Prem Cup. I don't know if you've heard of it, but where they play a lot of younger players. So I'm really hoping, working hard for trying to get a run out on one of those games. I just sort of see what happens.
Mm.
And hopefully, stay injury free.
And what are if you were to name your big dreams, rugby wise, what are the big dreams?
Well, I definitely want to go on. Well, yeah, a big dream would be going on the Lions tour.
Okay.
Playing for England as well.
Okay, Lions tour, for England.
They're the two big ones.
So these are not completely out of reach for you.
Yeah, well,
you're on the journey.
Yeah, on the pathway, but a lot of hard work and has to go into it. So
absolutely. What do you love most about playing sport at a high level?
It's a good question. I think for me personally, I really enjoy sort of that competitive environment. Sort of like when you're training, everyone's training hard. You're competing with others to earn the shirt, and it sort of just makes everyone better as players. But I think it's probably that competitive environment.
Yeah, amazing. Now, as well as being passionate about sport, you're a Christian believer as well. In fact, we baptized you, two weeks ago?
Yeah.
So tell us a bit about your journey with Christian faith.
Sure. So, yeah, I was very I was lucky to grow up in a Christian family, and sort of went to church. I think I'd always call myself a Christian to my friends. I think it's one thing sort of calling yourself Christian at a young age, and you sort of I went on a lot of Christian camps during the summer, and they sort of do talks throughout the week, sort of talking about Jesus' life, and towards the end they talked about Jesus dying on the cross for you, and that kind of just hit me all of a sudden. Mm. And so it was probably that night I tried to really start to live for Jesus. And it hasn't always been easy. I think everyone who's a Christian would probably say that it's a very sort of tough journey. A lot of my friends are non-Christians, and that can be hard at times. They're doing stuff that you probably know is wrong. It can be definitely quite hard, but here we are.
Yeah, and so sport, faith, I mean, how do you say your faith in Jesus impacts you kind of on and off the pitch?
Sure. I think I'll start with off the pitch. In rugby, there's probably a bit of a perceived culture for, I think the main thing, drinking and stuff like that. But I think like off the pitch, it's definitely, I think it's probably harder. With all the socials and just socially with friends and stuff, because a lot, as I said, a lot of my friends and a lot of people I play rugby with aren't Christians, and so they're doing the things that that I probably see as not right, and so you want to stay away from them. So it's sort of just trying to be bold in your faith and standing up for what you believe, and being a Christian on the pitch. Like I think. Just going when I walk out, just remembering that my identity is secure in Christ. Not like you're not sort of what's the word, like the perform your perform. Obviously, it's nice to have a good performance and a good result, but that doesn't define who you are. Your like your purpose is much more like deep.
And that whole question of purpose is kind of our theme for tonight. The kind of living with purpose. And how would you say following Jesus has helped you to live with purpose?
Yeah, sure. I spoke to you earlier and I said I sort of thought about it as playing with purpose. And there's a great organisation called Christians in Sport, which many of you might be familiar with. And those are some of the summer camps I went on. And a few things they talk about is, well, the first thing is audience of one. So you're playing for God. And obviously, like, I don't know, it might be like a scout or like, but you know, the thing is, you're playing for God. And I'd say that's quite a big one for me, because it's very easy to get sort of caught up in seeing people on the sideline who, I don't know, like a coach who selects or whatever. It's very easy to get caught up in that and sort of trying to play for all these like fans and stuff like that. But the main thing is sort of giving God the glory.
That's amazing. So it's as much about who you're doing it for. And I know you've got a couple of Bible verses that have really really kind of help you when it comes to like living for Jesus on the pitch as well.
Sure. So the first verse I got down is Romans 12 verse 1. And it ends with, this is your true and proper worship. And that one's quite important for me, because as athletes, like, it's a way we can glorify God, worship God, doing it through our sport. So that's my first one that's quite like meaningful. And then the second one is Colossians 3, verse 23, which says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. And I guess that kind of links to the audience of one as well, sort of playing for God. And yeah, just remembering that as I play. Really helpful.
Oscar, thank you so much for sharing. It's just lovely to hear your journey with sport and your journey with faith and how those two things have like really connected and integrated. And we will just be wishing you all the best for your results on Sunday and then, God willing, heading down to Bath. Not just to play rugby, but to do a degree as well, and all that lies ahead of you. Shall we give a little round of applause?
No.
Thank you, that's good.
Do you go in there? Do you go in there?
Yeah, thank you. I'll cut this off the world.
I'll leave this for now, Roger. Let's take that one. Let's turn it off. There we go. Well done. I was chatting to Oscar earlier, but don't know if you're aware, but the person who's been named captain of the British and Irish Lions is a keen Christian. So Mario Toje, called up to be captain. I mean, what an honor. And Oscar says, you know, that's the big goal of if you're a rugby player. If you're a British rugby player, is to play for the British Lions. And there he is. And the BBC Sport interviewed him recently, just a few weeks ago, actually. This is what he said. This is the captain of the British and Irish Lions. He said, I was probably a lukewarm Christian for a large part of my life. I was probably someone who went to church but was not really living the principles or values of it that deeply. But I've always been a believer. He went on to say, the humility that I've tried to embody throughout my life definitely comes from knowing that everything I have has been a gift, not my own doing. but the guy upstairs, as Mary puts it, asked about the long journey towards becoming Captain of England, and now also Captain of British and Irish Lions, he simply replied, "God's timing is always the best timing." Now, here's a guy who's been called up to be captain of, you know, at the top of his game. And yet, for him, behind the human call-up is a higher calling from God. God's timing. He's the one who, in Mary's perspective, has put him exactly where he is. Whatever you're doing, whether it's rugby or rowing or real estate or so-called retirement, which I've heard is as busy as any other time in your life, if you know that whatever you're doing, you have been called by God into it, everything is infused with purpose. There's that lovely old English word, vocation. And you know, vocations are often kind of associated with the so-called kind of, you know, noble profession, so a nurse or a doctor or a teacher or, you know, perhaps even a vicar. And the idea of a vocation is it's not just a job, it's a calling, and it comes from the Latin word vocare, which means to call. And it's a lovely thought, isn't it, that you have a vocation. And yet the perspective in the Bible and the perspective that Jesus gives us is that it's not just a few noble people who get called, but through Jesus, God calls all of us. And I'd love to invite you just to pick up this little booklet. It's a copy of Luke's Gospel in Henley clothing. But if you turn to page 31, I'd love us just briefly to look at an account here of exactly this, a calling. So this is, look, I've got the wrong page number here. This is, let me give you the right page number. This is Luke chapter 5 and verse 27. It's actually page 22. And let me just read it. It's under the heading that says, "Jesus calls Levi and eats with sinners." After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisee and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." It's a calling. It's a personal calling. As Jesus picks out Levi specifically by name and says, "Follow me." That's how God works. He doesn't work in generalities. He works in individuals. And he might be calling you by name this evening. It's personal. It's surprising. Levi. I mean, no one expected Levi. He's a sinner. He's a tax collector. He's probably a cheat and a liar as well. And yet Jesus says, "Yes, Levi, you're the one." And some of us feel too broken or too irreligious or too far away from all things Christian to feel like we could ever be part of that. And yet Jesus steps through all of those boundaries that we put up and says, "Yes, you." It's surprising. And it's revolutionary, because before, who was Levi living for? Himself, his prophet, his reputation. And who is he living for at the end? For Jesus. And so who's at the center of the dinner party that he invites all his mates to? Jesus, right at the center of it. And that's because at the center of the calling is Jesus. Follow me, says Jesus. Now he's got something to live for. To state that more accurately, he's got someone to live for. We've got quite a few rowers at our church here at Trinity. We interviewed a batch of them who are all rowing in the regatta this week, this last Sunday. And Liv, who is rowing, I think their boat is possibly online to win, but she is rowing tomorrow. And she said every time she gets into a boat, she and one of her fellow oarsmen, who is also a Christian, say before every single race, for him, through him, with him. And then they row. Tomorrow, I wish I could remember which boat it was, but tomorrow she sets out, she rows for Leander. She will say those words, for him, through him, with him. When you know God has called you, you have a purpose that transcends any one thing that you do. And this is so important, because if you place your whole sense of purpose in one thing, what happens when that one thing comes to an end? What happens when you get the injury? Or what happens when the rugby or the rowing chapter comes to an end? And that's where you put all of your purpose. Well, we know the stories of people whose life just goes totally off the rails as a result. But when you know God has called you, when the rowing chapter closes, or when the career chapter closes, or when the parenting chapter closes and the kids leave home, or when whatever chapter it is, when that chapter closes, that chapter is gone, but the God who calls you hasn't. And he's calling you into a new chapter, and you have just as much purpose as you did before. And so let me just close our time with a personal question, which is this: how purposeful do you feel your life is? How purposeful do you feel your life is? If Jesus calls you, follow me. It's a call that Maritoje heard and followed. He's now captaining the British and Irish Lions. And he's not playing rugby, he's following Jesus as he plays rugby. A call that Oscar heard, and as he heads off to Bath, he's not just being a student or playing rugby, he's following Jesus into those things. Because it turns out the best way to know why I'm living is actually to know who I'm living for. That's a life with purpose.